Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, translation commentary by Srila Prabhupada. So I've been assigned the verse Madhyalila, chapter 8, talks between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. Text 215, now this is... Ramananda Roy telling Lord Chaitanya about the ultimate goal of life. So we're at 215, but I just want to, I was reading a little before, and so I saw in text 200 that Ramananda stopped. He took a little time out, and he said something. And what he said was, I'll just paraphrase. He said, I'm only speaking what you're speaking through me. You're giving me the words, and I'm speaking. And then you're also listening. You're simultaneously giving me the words, and then you're listening to what I say. And Ramananda Roy said, this is very mysterious. and then Prabhupada, the next sentence starts. Ramananda said, anyway, I'm going to go on anyway. Okay, so this is 15 verses later, and Ramananda Roy is talking about our heroes, our role models in Gaudiya Sampradaya, the gopis. Ram, ya, kwa, chud, upasana, brajabadhu, vargena, ya, kalpa. Nobody can match, Lord Chaitanya said, the absolute, unalloyed, utterly surrendered love of the gopis for Krishna. Okay. Please repeat. Sahaja gopira prema. Nahi prakritkam.
Sahaja gopira prema nahi prakritkam.
Sahaja gopira prema nahi prakritkam.
Sahaja gopira prema nahi
prakritkam. Kama krida samyetara kahi kamanam. Kama krida samyetara kahi kamanam. Sahaja gopira prema nahi prakritkam. Kama krida samyetara kahi kamanam. I thought I recognized that voice from Mayapur. I think that's more the way Prabhupada sang it, wasn't it? That was more Prabhupada's tune for that. You hear Prabhupada reciting the CC. I think you've got the notes better than I did. Anyone else?
Sahaja
Word for word, sahaja.
Sahaja.
Natural.
Natural.
Gopira.
Gopira.
Of the gopis. Prema.
Prema.
Love of Godhead.
Love of Godhead.
Nahi.
Nahi.
Is not.
Is not.
Prakrit. Material.
Material.
Kama.
Kama.
Lust.
Kama
krida, lusty affairs, samye, in appearing equal to, tara, of such activities, kahi, I speak, kama nam, the name lust. Translation, it is to be noted that the natural characteristic of the gopis is to love the Supreme Lord. Their lusty desire is not to be compared to material lust. Nonetheless, because their desire sometimes appears to resemble material lust, their transcendental love for Krishna is sometimes described as lust. Please repeat, it is to be noted that the natural characteristic of the gopis is to love the Supreme Lord. Their lusty desire is not to be compared to material lust. Nonetheless, because their desire sometimes appears to resemble material lust, their transcendental love for Krishna is sometimes described as lust. Purport. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that material lust should never be attributed to Krishna, who is full of transcendental knowledge. Material lust cannot be engaged in the service of the Lord, for it is applicable to materialists, not to Krishna. Only prema, or love of Godhead, is applicable for the satisfaction of Krishna. Prema is full service rendered unto the Lord. The lusty affairs of the gopis actually constitute the topmost love of Godhead, because the gopis never act for their own personal satisfaction. They are simply pleased by engaging other gopis in the service of the Lord. The gopis derive more transcendental pleasure from indirectly engaging other gopis in the service of Krishna than from engaging in his service themselves. That is the difference between material lust and love of Godhead. Lust applies to the material world, and love of Godhead applies only to Krishna. So when Prabhupada would talk about the difference between love and lust, he would very often quote another verse in CC. And this is the most, he would quote this more than this verse. And here's the verse. You know the Bengali Pushkar? I didn't. Atmendriya. Something like that. All right, in plain English, here's what it means. Quote. Quote. Okay. Quote, the desire to gratify one's own senses is calm, lust. But the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is prem, love. And when we hear that, it doesn't necessarily, at least in my kind, doesn't necessarily connect, because I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Because I'm thinking I'm separate from Krishna, right? And when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are but part of me, they are in me and are mine. I don't get it that my senses are part and parcel of Krishna's senses. Absolute ascension, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. So it's what we're going to talk about today, and briefly, is our journey from lust to love, which is the journey. This is the journey we all have to take to go back to Godhead. Okay, purport to that more often quoted verse that I just read from Prabhupada. Purport. The revealed scriptures describe pure love as follows. Quote, if there is ample reason, this is very interesting, listen to the definition of pure love. If there is ample reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship, if there is ample, is every good reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship, and yet such a dissolution does not take place, such a relationship of intimate love is called pure.
Wow.
Again, quote, if there is ample reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship, and yet such a dissolution does not take place, such a relationship of intimate love is called pure. That can only be because Krishna is at the center of it. It's through, the relationship is through Krishna, as we hear Prabhupada say. See, we see through Krishna. We hear through Krishna. We taste through Krishna. We touch through Krishna. We smell through Krishna. This is when we're sarvapati vinirvaktam, when we're completely, our senses are completely undesignated by, uncompromised by matter. Prabhupada continues in this famous purport, the predominated gopis were bound to Krishna in such pure love. For them, there was no question of sexual love based on sense gratification. Their only engagement in life was to see Krishna happy in all respects. They didn't have a sense of separate existence. Right? They knew they were part, one in quality, but parcel, different in quantity, part and parcel. Regardless of their own personal interests, they dedicated their souls only for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. There was not the slightest tinge of sexual love between the gopis and Krishna. Prabhupada continues, the author of Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita asserts with authority that sexual love is a matter of personal sense enjoyment. All the regulative principles, now listen to this. Oh, it's the next line. All the regulative principles in the Vedas pertaining to desires for popularity, fatherhood, wealth, and so on, are different phases of sense gratification. And now here's a whole list and some of these things we hold near and dear in the material world, but Prabhupada is saying that they're really just gross and subtle forms of self-centeredness. Listen to this list. Acts of sense gratification may be performed under the cover of public welfare, nationalism, religion, altruism, ethical codes, and then Prabhupada says, biblical codes. There's a swipe here at the Malaycha Shastras. Biblical codes, health directives, fruitive action, bashfulness. There's a self-centered bashfulness, right? It's not real shy, it's a selfish. Tolerance, personal comfort, liberation from material bondage, progress, family affection, or fear of social ostracism, or legal punishment. But all these categories are different subdivisions of one substance. Can you guess? Sense gratification. Some of those things sound really cool, right? No, but no. The Siddhanta is coming down strong. My initiation we drove from New Vrindavan to Detroit on Friday, July 17th, 1971. The next day on the Saturday, the 17th, Prabhupada gave the initiation lecture. And he said all the other processes of perfection, you know, whether it be religion or yoga or, you know, karma, he said they're like a silversmith with his hammer, and Prabhupada made a noise, tick, 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 tick. They're just chipping away, you know, like a silversmith might chip away, and he's trying to make a figure out of silver, and he's chipping away, tick, 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 And then Prabhupada said, but bhakti jog is like sledgehammer. One stroke, doom. Prabhupada made a noise, doom. Everything finished. Yeah. Very powerful the way he said it. Yes. Okay. All such good acts are performed basically for one's own sense gratification, or obviously an extension, right? For no one can sacrifice his personal interest while discharging these much advertised moral and religious principles. But above all this is a transcendental stage in which one feels himself to be only an eternal servitor of Krishna. No separate existence. Right? Yeah. And that's the gopis, especially, through and through. Krishna has a headache? Oh, take it. Take the dust off our... We don't care if we go to hell. Take it, take it. All acts performed in this sense of servitude are called pure love of God because they are performed for the absolute sense gratification of Sri Krishna. However, any act performed for the purpose of enjoying its fruits or results is an act of sense gratification. Such actions are visible sometimes in gross and sometimes in subtle forms. So since today is the disappearance anniversary of our hero in the Panchatattva, he's the marginal, he's our marginal representative on the Panchatattvas, Srivas Pandit. I thought it would be interesting to take a look at that soul's journey from lust to love, because as we heard Prabhu just read, he was not only Narada Muni in a previous life, but before that, he was a Gandharva, Upabarhana. We hear from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni revealing to Maharaj Yudhisthira how he became Narada Muni, and he said, you know, formerly, you know, every saint has a past, as they say, every sinner a future. So here's the former life of Narada Muni from the swan's own mouth. 715, 69 through 73, Narada says, long, long ago in another Mahakalpa, another millennium for Brahma, I existed as the Gandharva known as Upabarhana. I was very respected by the other Gandharvas. So he was a great singer. Gandharvas, they're great singers, Apsaras, great dancers, you know, they have lots of fun in their sense gratification, but it all comes to an end. Text 70, I had a beautiful face and a pleasing, attractive bodily structure. Decorated with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp, I was most pleasing to the women of my city. Thus I was bewildered, always feeling lusty desires. Text 71. Once there was a Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord in an assembly of the demigods. And the Gandharvas and Apsaras were invited by the Prajapatis to take part in it. So the Prajapatis, progenitors of the universe, they're very responsible devotees, so they wanted to bring in, you know, it's like we have Kirtan festivals. You just had one in North Carolina, right? Sada Sangha, so they invite all the big singers in. So this is Sankirtan festival, all the best singers and dancers in the universe. So Gandharvas, Apsaras were invited by the Prajapatis to take part in it. Of course, they were expected to do it properly. But here's what happened. Text 72. Narada Muni continued, being invited to that festival, I also joined. And surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Uh-oh. Because of this, the Prajapatis, the great demigods in charge of the affairs of the universe, forcefully cursed me with these words. Quote, because you have committed an offense, may you immediately become a Shudra, devoid of beauty. And then this is the only purport I printed out because it's very telling. Purport. As far as kirtan is concerned, the Shastras say, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. That's 7523. One should chant the glories of the Supreme Lord and the holy name of the Supreme Lord. This is clearly stated, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. One should chant about and glorify Lord Vishnu, not any demigod. Unfortunately, there are foolish persons who invent some process of kirtan on the basis of a demigod's name. So Prabhupada's saying, you know, when people do kirtan in the name of a demigod, that's not shastric, that's not authentic. It's something made up. This is an offense. Kirtan means glorifying the Supreme Lord, not any demigod. Sometimes people invent Kali Kirtan or Shiv Kirtan, and even big sannyasis in the Mayavad school say that one may chant any name and still get the same result. But here we find that millions and millions of years ago, when Narada Muni was a Gandharva, he neglected the order to glorify the Lord, and being mad in the association of women, he began to chant otherwise. Thus he was cursed to become a Shudra. His first offense was that he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of lusty women. So that was the first thing he did wrong. He went to the Sankirtan party as though he was going to just an ordinary party, a material party. And another offense was that he considered ordinary songs, Prabhupada says, like cinema songs and other such songs, to be equal to Sankirtan. For this offense, he was punished with becoming a Shudra. And then the final verse in the series, Narada gives the happy ending. Text 73, although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maidservant, I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas, as we know from the first canto, who were well versed in Vedic knowledge, those Bhakti Vedantas. He took the remnants of the prasad. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as the son of Lord Brahma. And then, according to the Gauranga's Tipika, that same soul, who was Narada Muni and his good friend Parvati Muni, they came as brothers, Srivas Pandit and Sri Ram Pandit. So in that, as we know from that first canto, it was a journey, and it literally was a journey. When his mother died at the age of 5, the little boy, he took off and just traveled and traveled through all kinds of environments, rural environments, urban environments. And Prabhupada mentions how this is good for the aspiring transcendentalist, especially a sannyasi, because he sees the whole world as it is, sees the whole thing of it, and his mind becomes very strong and fixed, independence on the Lord, because you go through so many situations. Apavitro, pavitrova, we say, right? Purified or unpurified, or even having passed through so many situations. If one remembers the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, his life is perfect. And then he got darshan of the Lord. And then the Lord disappeared, and the Lord said, I regret to say you won't see me anymore, but this is to increase your hankering. And then in his next life, he was born as the son of Brahma. Quite a journey. And then now we're going to see the extent of his sense of love of God and non-separateness from Lord Chaitanya. I chose this pastime, famous pastime, where in the house of Srivas Thakur, when we go to Mayapur, we go to Srivas Sangam, and we see where Lord Chaitanya made the heart, you know, the capital, the headquarters of his Sankirtan movement in Srivas Thakur's house. But in the chapter called Pastime of Lord Chaitanya in His Youth, we read this, text 227. One day the two brothers, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were dancing in the holy house of Srivas Thakur. Text 228. At that time, a calamity took place. Srivas Thakur's son died. Yet Srivas Thakur was not at all sorry. His sense of kinship and family and love were all completely reposed in Gaur Nitai. So text 229. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caused the dead son to speak about knowledge, and then the two brothers personally became the sons of Srivas Thakur. Interesting turnabout, because if you remember in the Chitraketu pastime, it was Narada Muni, when Chitraketu's son died, who came to the place, and in the company of Angira Rishi, he made Chitraketu's son speak. Talk about a teaching technique, right? Okay, speak, my dear dead body. And then it was a similar thing, what we'll hear in the purport. The dead son come back, and he's preaching to Chitraketu. Quite a cold shower of Shabda Brahman. Little reality check here. Who are you? Whose father? Which parent are you? Okay, purport to this verse. This incident is described as follows by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, which Prabhupada consulted scrupulously for his purports. One night, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing with his devotees at the house of Srivas Thakur, one of Srivas Thakur's sons, who was suffering from some disease, died. Srivas Thakur was so patient, however, that he did not allow anyone to express sorrow by crying. Incredible control here in Krishna's service. For he did not want the kirtan going on at his house to be disturbed. Wow. It's unimaginable from my point of view. Thus, kirtan continued without a sound of lamentation. And even this astonishes Lord Chaitanya. But when the kirtan was over, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who could understand the incident, declared, "There must have been some calamity in this house." When he was then informed about the death of Srivas Thakur's son, he expressed his regret. So he expressed his regret, whereas Srivas, he didn't want to disturb the kirtan ras. He expressed his regret, saying, "Why was this news not given to me before?" He went to the place where the son was lying dead and asked him, "My dear boy, why are you leaving the house of Srivas Thakur?" The dead son, he has the son give the Siddhanta now. The dead son immediately replied, "I was living in this house as long as I was destined to live here. Now that the time is over, I am going elsewhere, according to your direction," the son is saying to Lord Chaitanya. "I am your eternal servant, a dependent living being. I must act only according to your desire. Beyond your desire, I cannot do anything. I have no such power." And that's true of all of us, but he really gets it, super gets it. Prabhupada continues, "Hearing these words of the dead son, all the members of Srivas Thakur's family received transcendental knowledge as described in Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Tata dehantara praptir dhirastatra namuhyati. When someone dies, he accepts another body. Therefore, sober persons do not lament." After the discourse between the dead boy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, funeral ceremonies were performed, and Lord Chaitanya assured Srivas Thakur. So here's the icing on the cake. Quote, "You have lost one son, but Nityananda Prabhu and I are your eternal sons." He's responding to that very parental, he didn't want to disturb Lord Chaitanya and Lord Gaur Nitai's kirtan. He was taking care of them, protecting them. So Lord Chaitanya says, We are your eternal sons. We shall never be able to give up your company. Prabhupada says, this is an instance of a transcendental relationship with Krishna. We have eternal transcendental relationships with Krishna as his servants, friends, fathers, sons, or conjugal lovers. When the same relationships are pervertedly reflected in this material world, we have relationships as the sons, fathers, friends, lovers, masters, or servants of others, but all these relationships are subject to termination within a definite period. If we revive our relationship with Krishna, however, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our eternal relationship will never break to cause our lamentation. It's called Bhakti Rasa, and that's why we're here serving Srila Prabhupada. So it's getting late, but I'll just say briefly that in my journey from lust to love, God knows where I am on that continuum, but I'm finding that the more I give up my own dramas and traumas and, you know, the history of this body and try to enter into what I'm supposed to do more and more for Prabhupada's mission, then I find myself. It's one of those divine paradoxes. We find ourselves by losing ourselves in the name, in our mission within Prabhupada's mission. And in that way, we forget any sense of separate existence. And it's susukam kartum avyayam. Okay, it's 10 to 9. I better stop if you have any questions or comments. Mahamaya, do you like Mataji, Sadvi, Prabhvi, Prabhuji, all of the above? Vishakha Mataji, I'm sorry she isn't here because I asked her and she said, Sureshwara, you can call me Doofus. I said, no, at least Doofus Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I just accept any name you want to call me. Sureshwara Prabhu, since you have been traveling around the world for years now, establishing Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya, and because you love to imitate his voice so nicely, and because of your dedication to Srila Prabhupada, I just was wondering if you could say something about the new book that I know you're also part of called Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, and the importance of that book in our lives. Can you say something about that?
First of all, you must never imitate. You must follow.
Read it. www.founderach, with an H, ARYA.com. It's the 6 years in the making. This is the perfection of Ravindra Swarup Prabhu's dissertation tendencies to write dissertations. It's brilliant. And it does provide the philosophical basis for what I present. When I travel, I try to give people a full Prabhupada experience through the Vedantic scheme of Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. We deepen our awareness of what it means that Prabhupada's our founder Acharya. Then based on that deepened awareness, we commit more to his mission. And then based on committing more to the mission, then we can talk about deepening our love for him. Please read this. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, it took him 6 years. It took him about an afternoon to write the text. But then it took him 6 years to write the commentary on the text because so many of us were putting him through his paces, you know, from the GBC down to us, Prabhupada committee, position committee members. And it's finely tuned and honed exactly according to Guru Sada Shastra and Vaishnav history. It's great. And it's really, if people read it, and as Bhakti Churu Maharaj says in his introduction and on the back of the book, this book is not meant for casual reading. It's for implementation. Because the more we understand, per Guru Sadhu Shastra and Vaishnava history, that the founder Acharya provides the foundational, say the core identity, and the core relationship for all generations of his followers, the more we'll actually be able to, you know, heed that Mahavakya of Prabhupada's, as he was, not just as he was leaving us, but he said it, he was saying it all the time. And what's that Mahavakya? Cooperate. We're better able to do it when we understand that he provides our core identity and core relationship. And all glories to the Shiksha and Diksha gurus, and that's supposed to be all of us, who enrich, enhance, and deepen that identity. Anyway, read the book. It's really good. It's great. I'm on the fourth reading, and I'm always reading it, actually, because I always find something new in it. I mean, Ravindra, when he was writing it, he described a little bit in his preface, you know, of what he went through writing it, and he got a lot of mercy, he got a lot of blessings, and he got a lot of sauce too in the process, you know, as he was honing it. Why'd you say that? And what do you mean by that? And you know, go deeper here and prove that, and you know, and he acknowledged it all in his beautiful preface. Yeah, we have diversity in this movement coming out our ears, eyes, nose, all the gates of the body. We need more unity. And guess who provides that? The founder Acharya. Yeah. So, but anything about today's? But thank you for Akuti Ma.
So
I called you Akuti Ma because you look like a ma.
Taught by Srila Prabhupada is to dovetail that lust, and so we dovetail it in our love for Srila Prabhupada by becoming lusty after his mission. But when does that convert or change into actually love of Godhead? Does Prabhupada take care of that later down in other lifetimes?
Well, there's different ways to answer that, but one thing is we have to remember, because the basis of feeling is thinking, so that's why we have to get our so to speak, head screwed on right in order for us to feel right. Remember that in, you know, chapter 5, Bhagavad Gita, text 22, 23. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end. And so the wise man does not delight in them. Dukkha yonaya. This is what we've been chasing for eons. Mating the senses with the sense objects. It's so counterintuitive to the materialistic mind to not do that. Right? So, next verse. Shaknoti haiva yakshodhum praksharira vimokshana. Kama krodho bhavang vegam suyuktaksa sukhi naraha. This we have to remember. Before giving up, so you might ask, well, what is it, like implicit in your question, Akuti, was, you know, when does this lusty desires ever stop? You know, does it ever, you know. Krishna says in the next verse, before giving up this present body, praksharira vimokshana. They come right to the day you go to the pyre, right? The praksha. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the forces of desire and anger, he is a yogi and is happy in this world. So we have to just practice getting our pleasure by engaging our senses in the service of Krishna. It takes practice, and practice makes perfect. And here's a little anecdote. Nairobi, 1972, Brahmananda Swami at the time is driving Srila Prabhupada through Nairobi. They stop at a stoplight. Brahmananda's there, and a pretty girl walks across the street, and Brahmananda's eyes follow her. And then Prabhupada's right next to him. And Prabhupada, and Brahmananda says, Prabhupada, it seems hopeless. As soon as I see a pretty girl, my eyes automatically fly, you know, in her direction. So Prabhupada knew how to answer questions. If you notice how Prabhupada answered questions, he not only answered the content of the questions, he answered the intent. So, to Brahmananda Swami at the time, Prabhupada said, that is natural. That's how he started the answer. That is natural. And then he said, then he gave him the solution, but a Vaishnava stops at thinking. It's natural. 270 Gita. Ah, puryamanam achalam pratistam samudram. The ocean. Samudrama papapashanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravashanti sarve sashantam apnoti nakama kami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. We just have to become full, as you are, Okuti, with Prabhupada's mission and service. And then we just, they come, they always come. They're coming at every moment, you know, consciously or unconsciously. We just dismiss them. And we're able to do that as we are getting a higher taste of losing ourselves in Nam, losing ourselves in Guna, Rupa, Lila, Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes. And for me, I'm discovering it the more I travel and and give Prabhupada for the sake of his mission. Madame Mohan Prabhu has a question. Is that all right? Okay.
On that same point, it also mentions as long as one has a material body, the senses are going to act like that. So it appears that the intelligence has to be in order above the mind as opposed to out of order below the mind. And wherever it wanders, you bring your mind back. And that tolerance that you mentioned there, that's a most wonderful thing, because 2.14 and 2.15 says if you can tolerate, then you'll be liberated. And you can follow it all the way through, because it's an impetus for prayers, that you make the prayer, just see how this material energy works. So then your humility also is activated in that tolerance. And then, of course, the nectar of instruction leaves off that now that you've learned how to tolerate it and you're doing it correctly, you can make disciples all over the world.
It's so simple.
Yeah,
it's just the Prabhupada says the application is difficult. It's not a mystery.
And I think they gave a special spot for it called the Vijnanamoya stage, where one actually sees the mind and the senses, a whole package. That but he's seeing it separate. So where is he seeing it from? That he can see it without identifying with it. That's his self-realized intelligence. Then he becomes nishtha.
Detached. Right. Thank you. So on this day when the soul, the sun, appears to be stis, standing still, soul stis, let's use the whole day to fill our day with service to our beloved Srila Prabhupada and our Shiksha-Jiksha gurus. Forget our sense of separate identity. There is no separate identity. That's the illusion. That's why I'm here, you know. I used to say, Ford has a better idea. Right? Richard Hall has a better idea. This is my model. 1946, December 1, 1946, 12:48 a.m. at the Beth David Hospital on the Lower East Side of New York City, emerged this latest edition of my desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. Krishna has a better idea. Give it up. Come home. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai.